Driving the growing campaign about fuel loads today was Nationals MP Barnaby Joyce. Here he is on Channel 7 saying he wants changes to tree clearing and fuel reduction rules.
In the national park, you have not you always get fires, but it's the intensity of the fire because the amount of the fuel load that is catching on fire. And we've got to get a better capacity to deal with this. I believe, and this is my view, there are too many caveats that have been placed on people, let's call them green caveats, that impede people's capacity to fight fires.
The New South Wales Rural Fire Service Commissioner Shane Fitzsimmons was also on morning television. He's stressed that there are fewer chances to do hazard reduction burning these days, but adds it's not the panacea for bushfires.
We're now living and working and occupying areas that used to freely burn. We can't light a burn and just let it run. Lighting a hazard reduction burn is complicated, it's resource hungry, it's risky, and the minute we see a burn lit, I end up getting inundated with claims for people wanting us to pay for their shade cloth on their greenhouse. The sun tuff on their back pergola's now got embers that have landed on it.
The experts are pleading for leaders to look at the science and not make knee-jerk decisions. Professor David Lindenmayer is a leading Australian researcher in landscape ecology, conservation and biodiversity at the Australian National University. He says reducing fuel loads is part of the answer to fire risk.
The reality is that fuel reduction does help, but it needs to happen close to houses and close to human infrastructure, and it only works for a handful of years. Reducing fuel in large areas away from human infrastructure is really quite pointless, and it diverts resources from where it needs to happen. The prospect of land clearing is really quite diverse because that will lead to more emissions, it will lead to more drying of the landscape and have the opposite effect for what's intended.
Any inexpert observer looking at these fires will have seen those massive canopies going up. And of course, we all know about eucalyptus oil in the trees and so forth. Is there not some value in thinning out forests to stop that?
We hear these calls repeatedly after fires over the last 30 years. And in fact, thinning of forests can actually make them more fire prone, just as logging makes forests more prone to high severity fire. So these are quite counterproductive. And the data shows that that's exactly what we shouldn't be doing. And in many cases, this is actually a sort of a crass pitch from the forest industry to start logging areas that they shouldn't be logging. And in fact, those logging operations will make the forest more prone to high severity fire rather than less.
Why is that? Why does thinning add to risk?
It adds to risk because it dries the forest, it opens the canopy, it removes some of the wet understory, which keeps the forest quite moist. So it dries out the fuel. And there's often logging slash or logging debris that's left in the forest that adds to the fuel load. So it's actually quite counterproductive. And a whole series of studies in Australia and overseas have shown that.
The Prime Minister is among those who says that this is what needs to happen. He says he's being told by people on the ground that more hazard reduction is needed. How should a government step through this? What should a government be saying to people when they're living with this crisis and it seems to be the right thing?
So rather than having knee-jerk, anti-rational approaches, we need to have a long, cold, sober look at this, and let's use some science. Now, I know that science isn't where the federal government has naturally been for the last 10 years, but science is really important here. And the science tells us that there are things that we can do around individual properties at the property level. There are things that can be done at the landscape level. And at a global level, we really do need to tackle this climate change issue because most of fire behaviour is actually driven by climate, by drying climates, by less rainfall, by higher temperatures. So there are things that we need to do at multiple levels, local, regional, national and global.
And we've seen reports today that the New South Wales government is considering taking land management hazard reduction responsibilities away from environmental agencies. Are environmental agencies getting in the way of proper forest management in your view?
Absolutely not. What's actually happened is that successive governments of all persuasions, both at the state level and the federal level, has actually starved some of these really important resource management agencies of resources for them to be able to do their job. And in fact, what we see in places like New South Wales is that there are already record levels of hazard reduction burning. What actually needs to take place is some very rational, very sober, very measured and scientific-based approaches to what's going on here. So knee-jerk responses about more hazard reduction burning is actually not where it's at. We saw that that failed in Victoria after the 2009 fires, and a much more focused effort around targeting hazard reduction burns close to properties where it's most effective is the most important thing to do.
And what are the implications? We've seen huge numbers of animals, just eye-wateringly large numbers of animals, native animals caught up in these fires, killed. What are the implications for those animals trying to recover if we go in and start hacking at the forest?
Well, that's a really good point. What happens is that many of these species actually need intact habitat to recover. So the last thing we need to do is to be clearing their habitats. That would be highly counterproductive. Now, I know the federal government wants to see the recovery of wildlife. So removing the forest and removing the vegetation that these animals depend on is actually exactly what you don't want to do. So we want to be carefully managing our reserves, ensuring that we don't damage the habitats further with extra fire, with extra land clearing. You know, these are very perverse outcomes, and we already know this. So we don't need to be making the mistakes that have been made in the past.
And just finally, from what you've seen of where these fires have burned, is there any evidence that it is actually logged territory that has been more vulnerable in these fires, as opposed to national parks, for example, or can we not tell yet?
Yes, we can tell from past work, both ourselves, University of Melbourne work and University of Wollongong research that shows that logged forest is more prone to high severity fire. And that's actually results seen not only in Australia, but seen all over the world. So logging adds to the fire burden. It doesn't take it away. And people should be aware that a forest that is logged tomorrow will still be at elevated fire risk in 2060. So that's 40 years from now.
Professor Lindenmeyer, thank you for your time today.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
Professor David Lindenmeyer.